It's all about Southampton. The So-So Show with Zoe Hanson and Simon Clark.
Hello and welcome to The So-So Show with Visit Southampton. Make it a Christmas to remember in Southampton. It's a weekly look at life in the city, hosted by her, Zoe Hanson.
And him, Simon Clark. Now this week, local young people are getting their big break on stage.
Every Sunday when we've been rehearsing, 50 young people are spending the day on something that they love to do that is fun, a bit silly, and escaping and having the best time.
Last podcast before Christmas, are you fully prepared? Well, I know you kind of were prepared because in the last one you said you'd already bought, wrapped and delivered most of your presents.
Yes, yes, everything has to go. Everything must go. It's very much like a closing down sale in this house at the moment. Everything is bagged, ready to go to different houses. It just now depends on Boris as to when they get their Christmas presents.
The thing I love about this time of year, just before Christmas itself, you have an opportunity to see the people that you really want to see rather than the people that you kind of have to see because they're family and it's expected. So it's that rushing around and catching up with people just before Christmas, but the people that maybe aren't family, but the ones that you really want to see.
See, I have a slightly different take on it. I always say, no, it's okay. I don't need to see you before Christmas. I'll see you in January. It'd be much nicer and much less busy. And talking of busy, the Saturday before Christmas, how busy would you expect town to be?
I would expect it to be peak Christmas shopping the Saturday before Christmas.
I mean, you'd expect it to be crazy. We went into town last Saturday. It was the quietest I've ever seen it. Even on a Saturday in January, I have never seen it that quiet. Now, on the one hand, it's quite good because of the coronavirus and all of that. On the other hand, you're thinking, okay, the retailers, ooh, maybe it's, you know, they're not taking so much money. But what I heard that people were doing was going into town, literally having their list, not browsing, just going in, get what I need and out. And what we needed was to go to M&S in Westquay and meet actual Percy Pig.
Wow.
I know, right? I know. I heard that Percy Pig was going to be there in, we don't say person, in Pigson. So we popped down to M&S. We got a picture with Percy Pig. And then we went to John Lewis and they had a special postbox that goes to Father Christmas. So we posted Lois's letter to Santa. And we had a little look around all the Christmas decorations because I love all of that, you know, all the lights and all. John Lewis do it amazingly well. You know, they were doing workshops for like how to make the wreath and lots of different things and your table setting, all of that. But it's all in their sort of Christmas shop. And there were some awesome, awesome Christmas decorations. There were, these are all the things that you never knew you needed, Simon. The Christmas crab.
Well, you say that. I've got a Christmas lobster.
Have you?
My friend Caitlin and I had this running joke about lobsters, and one year for Christmas, I got a lobster Christmas decoration.
There's also a Christmas mermaid and a Christmas whale.
What's not to love? I've seen the emoji Christmas decorations because a friend of mine has got an aubergine Christmas decoration
okay
on their tree.
Yeah, I like that. I got one last year. I'm very proud of it. But it did get put on the back of the tree somehow. And it's from Poundland. And it says Poundland. And I'm like, that is an awesome decoration. I wish I'd bought more so they could cover the tree.
Oh, you need a whole tree of Poundland decorations just to show that you spent 30 quid on the entire tree. So I didn't go into town on the Saturday before Christmas and I didn't experience the kind of desolate wasteland of SAS shoppers who were literally just going in, getting what they needed and then getting the hell out again, which is how I always used to do my Christmas shopping anyway.
Right.
But I have got out and about and I have become semi-mobile again.
Hooray! Hooray! So broken leg is fixed or what?
Well, It's not totally fixed. It's done quite well. The bone has healed nicely, and they said you can kind of ease yourself back into it if you want. Essentially, my consultant said, don't let the first car journey you do be 80 miles to London and 80 miles back on Christmas Day.
Okay.
So I've been doing little and often.
Okay.
So just little journeys just to check I can drive and then do the emergency stop and things like that.
Okay. You haven't been to Barnard Castle, have you, just to check?
No, didn't do that one. I did go to the supermarket for the first time in 2 months. I've been doing all my shopping online, but I went the other morning just to get some few bits and pieces. And my word, if you haven't physically been into a supermarket for 2 months, the amount of coupons the machine spits out at you is incredible. It's like, it just kept going. You know how sometimes when it gives you coupons, you think, is that the last one? Is that the last one? This thing must have given me about a dozen coupons. It had been saving them up for me.
So you've got 30p off of dog food now, have you?
Yep, and I don't even have a dog. So I've got all sorts of random stuff that you think, this is going to be the shop from hell if I'm buying all of this cack.
Right.
But the most Christmassy thing happened to me on my way into Sainsbury's Hedge End.
Yeah.
There was a brass band playing Christmas songs.
Oh.
And they weren't just playing sedate Christmas songs. They were playing up tempo, absolutely smashing it out the park versions of stuff like Wham! Last Christmas.
Yes.
So I must say, congratulations to the 14th Spitfire Scout and Guides Band from Eastleigh for absolutely knocking it out of the park with their version of Wham. It was just incredible. And even the little children with the buckets collecting were having a dance as well. It was just impossible to not feel festive.
Oh, that's super cute.
Very, very, very cute. So even though I haven't done most of my Christmas shopping yet, I still felt very, very Christmassy indeed, just hearing ba 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 ba.
Did you go and get a selection box and sit down in front of them? Just chomp on that.
I was perhaps overgenerous with my donation because of how amazing it made me feel hearing Last Christmas being played at high speed by a brass band.
Perfect.
Now, talking of kids, there is a production on stage in Southampton which features nothing but children. And these kids, up until a few months ago, were very much amateur actors and actresses. Jacqueline Ockwell is the Associate Director of the Mayflower Masks Theatre and heavily involved in youth theatre productions nationwide. And she told Zoe all about it.
Yes, I'm very involved because I'm the director and the adapter of Peter Pan. I'd love to say I invented the story, but full credit to J.M. Barry. So what we've created is an awfully big musical adventure where people come and they get the Peter Pan story, peppered with all sorts of musical and up-to-date hits. We've got people clapping along, dancing along, having a really good time watching the amazing young people of Southampton performing.
So who is it that you've used then? Is this sort of a drama school from Southampton?
No. So it is young people from Southampton, from all over Southampton, who never knew each other before the first day of rehearsals. We just did open auditions. Mm-hmm. They came along and auditioned back in the summer. And then on Sundays since September, we have been working together to create the show. They're 11 to 18-year-olds, and it's brilliant. They're all very different. The thing that has them in common is they're all brilliant. They've all got their talents. We've sort of woven everything that they can do into the show. Right. They are really, really good.
That must be really hard work. As if we didn't have enough to cope with this year. You know, right, okay, you're going to be in a performance of, or lots of performances of, Peter Pan mm-hmm. at the end of the year, and you need to learn all this. So I'm presuming that there's singing and choreography and acting and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, but it's the great thing is the fact that they really, really want to do it. They want to be there. It's the highlight of the week. They come prepared. I'm quite disciplined in the rehearsal room. They know the expectations that they yeah. come to work, that we focus, we get the job done, and they want to do it. They want to do it the best they possibly can, so they come prepared. Yes, there's always challenges at the moment, isn't there, in everything that we do with the unpredictability of it. But we've actually had a really good rehearsal period where we've had times where we've had everybody and times when we couldn't have everybody.
Okay.
But we've come together and managed to get here. So that is great.
Well, that's fantastic. And the show runs until the 30th of December.
Yes. So we opened on Saturday. We did two shows yesterday. We have a day off today. And we run right through until New Year's Eve. The audience are a whole range of people. It's so fantastic. The children who come, who are seeing the show for the first time and shouting out and giving their instructions to Tinkerbell to not do this and the Hook to not be so bad. And there's people, it's lovely. I was talking to a lady last night in the audience who's bringing her great-grandchildren because she remembers when she went to see Peter Pan when she was a child. And she wanted to keep that story going on in her family. So she took her children, she took her grandchildren, and now she's back with her great-grandchildren. So that was rather special last night.
How lovely. It is. It's completely magical, you know. And a trip to the theatre, there's a lovely tradition about going at Christmas time, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. We all want it. We all need it. The biggest thing that I think at the moment is that you come and you escape completely.
Yeah.
You escape from everything that's happening in the world. And, you know, we all want to go to Neverland right now, don't we?
Yes.
And that's one of the things that has been really, really important about this project is that every Sunday when we've been rehearsing, 50 young people are spending the day on something that they love to do that is fun, a bit silly, and escaping and having the best time. And that's really, really valuable. And it's really seen them through. And now they are a tight-knit group who really trust each other. They come every day really looking forward to what they're going to do. And the audience are giving so much back.
Brilliant.
It's so exciting to just see them lifted as performers, but also the audience having a great time. Because as soon as you come through the doors at Mayflower Studios, the place is decorated. You actually, as soon as you step through the foyer, you're in Neverland.
Yeah.
We've got the beautiful second star to the right happening in Studio 2 at the same time. So tiny little babies are able to come and have an experience of a very gentle journey to Neverland. And that's in Studio 2. And in Studio 1, we've got our big, loud, fun telling of Peter Pan. There's all sorts to see as you come in. And also with Mayflower Studios, you've got the cafe area, so you can just come and have a drink and sit down and just enjoy the ambience before you go in or even just before you go to the shops. It's a really lovely place.
Jacqueline Ockwell, the Associate Director of the Mayflower Masked Theatre and very heavily involved in youth theatre, as you can tell from the enthusiastic way she talks about it. So what was Peter Pan like then, Zoe?
So I took my daughter and her little friend Heidi. We laughed, we sang, we danced. I had a little tear as well. Now, there's a lot of songs that you will recognise in this production of Peter Pan. Sweet Caroline was one, though, that I didn't think was going to get in there. but it did. And everybody was singing, even sort of the England Gareth Southgate bits as well. And it was brilliant. It was so beautifully crowbarred in. It was really, really wonderful.
That's one of the things I love about Panto, the way they crowbar in contemporary songs and popular songs of the moment. I mean,
yes.
It was about 10 years ago, you couldn't go to a Panto that didn't start with the Black Eyed Peas, and I got a feeling.
And now I've got to say, there's a special mention for Olivia, who played Tootles. She was our absolute favourite. That girl is a star in the making. Also, we've got to give special mentions to Peter Pan, Hook, Wendy, Smee, and a character called Slightly. So all of the characters are named by Peter Pan when they arrive, you know, as the Lost Ones or in Neverland. And then they're named by what's in their label. And this kid was called Slightly Soiled. So he's always called Slightly. But it was brilliant. The whole production was amazing. Honestly, these performers have a very, very bright future ahead of them. And there were so many of them. There must have been sort of 60, 70 young people there. And they were all amazing. The choreography was fantastic. The show just blew us away. It was just brilliant. And we all joined in. And at the end, it was a real sort of, there's a song about be the hero of your own story. I think that's a really lovely sentiment. And so I had a little Christmas cry to that.
Yeah. Oh. Nice.
It always happens.
It sounds like an awful lot of future talent has had its first taste of stardom at that event. So
yes.
That'll be great to see them going on from strength to strength.
Yeah, it'll be brilliant. Now, the other big thing that's happened this week is I've had my booster. I pulled it forward four times. So, you know, when everybody last week was saying, oh, I can't get my booster. And the media are going, there's a 7-hour queue. I said to my mate, don't panic. Give it 2 days. Everything will calm down. It's almost like the petrol queue. Once you've got petrol, you don't need to go again, right? It just calms down. So I had it on January the 12th. I had it booked in. Then I had it booked in for New Year's Eve. Then I brought it forward to the Monday. And then I brought it forward to last Friday.
Fantastic. Where'd you go?
So I went to Eastleigh, and it's weird, isn't it, standing in a booster queue, because the last time I was thinking, when did I last queue for stuff? I mean, we used to queue to get into a nightclub for the next sale and take that tickets, and now it's for a booster jab. I don't know if I'm getting old or just the world is changing.
You just made me feel very nostalgic at the concept of queuing to buy concert tickets.
Right.
That's where the industry's going wrong. You know, all of these online touts, if it was just a case of you've got to stand outside Southampton Guildhall.
Yes.
Or the O2.
Yes.
And wait for those tickets to become available. That would certainly separate the genuine fans from the absolute hawkers.
The only place they do it now, I think, is Wimbledon.
Oh.
You know, when those people stay in the one-man tents in the queue. That's the only place they do it. Or a royal wedding.
It's such a quintessentially British thing to do, though, isn't it? Embracing the queue to the point where you brought a tent. So when I did my booster, I was able to organise the whole thing over Facebook Messenger.
Right.
I got a tip-off that Fair Oak Pharmacy were happy to do walk-ins. So I messaged them on Facebook on the Saturday, which was Saturday before last.
Okay.
And they came back and said, yeah, just turn up Monday between 10 and 2 and we'll be able to get you in.
Yeah.
So I did. And I didn't have to wait for more than 5 minutes.
Okay.
In fact, I was waiting longer after the jab just to check that I was okay than I was when I turned up to get it done.
Perfect.
So I'm all sorted. If only it was so easy to get my 15-year-old his first jab, because most school kids had them done when they were in school. But at the time, he was doing exams. And I thought, I don't want him to have a jab and then have side effects and then not feel well for the exams, because you don't know at this point whether or not the exams he sat in November will be the ones that he's graded against when we get round to May.
Right.
And they'll obviously contribute towards the final grades if things don't work out the way you would expect this year. So rather than have him not well enough for the exams, I thought, oh, we'll do it later. It's no big deal. We'll be able to go and get him booked in at the surgery. And now you can't get him booked in at the surgery. And the earliest he can get his first jab is going to be January the 9th in Portsmouth.
Well, January the 9th isn't far away now. So let's get him first booster.
He has managed to navigate school so far without getting it. So, you know, I'm pretty confident he'll be okay until then.
Fingers crossed. So that's what's going on at the moment is booster queues. Should we do some what's-ons with Visit Southampton?
Yeah.
Make it a Christmas to remember in Southampton. I mean, look, Christmas at the moment is all right. We're sitting pretty, but I'm listening to the news every hour and going, what's going to happen? I've got to tell you what happened this week when we went on the Christmas walking trail.
Oh, so you've done it?
Yes, and it's beautiful. We went and did the North Pole trail, and it goes all the way around. So it starts at Mast Mayflower Studios, and then it goes up London Road, down to the Mayflower Theatre, and then round to the Marlins. And it's brilliant. It took about an hour, but the kids were so excited. They had their little maps, and they were finding all of the letters and trying to come up with the Christmas phrase. And it ends up in stacks in the Marlins. So it was only fair that we stayed and had chocoholic pancakes, wasn't it?
It would have been rude not to.
Yeah, exactly. Now, because we don't really know what's going on or what's going to happen, I didn't really want to put any what's ons in here because I don't want anybody to be disappointed. So all I'm going to say is this. If you're listening to this before Christmas, go and do that Christmas walking trail. It's brilliant. My daughter isn't here at the moment because she's gone to do the South Pole one today.
Wow.
Loved it that much. And the only other thing that I want you to do is on Friday the 24th of December, make sure you are in bed early, especially if you hear those little sleigh bells outside your window. Because if you're not asleep, he's not going to come.
So that's it for the what's-ons. That's the important bit. Walking trail and go to bed early on the 24th.
Exactly right.
It is really difficult to make plans at the moment, isn't it? I would imagine they'll do their utmost to allow people to spend Christmas together. But as for what happens after that, whether the New Year's events that are planned are still allowed to happen.
We'll see.
Who knows? I know one group of people who will be quite happy if there is a hiatus to everything normal, and that's the Saints. They are four goals shy of Ipswich Town's long-standing record of most Premier League goals conceded in a calendar year. Now, this record has stood since 1994 when Ipswich conceded a total of 79.
Oh my gosh.
And then they finished bottom of the table and then were relegated. So, Saints have conceded 75. The only saving grace is that Newcastle have conceded 79 already. So they are on a par with that record from Ipswich. But then between Christmas and New Year, we're supposed to be playing West Ham and Tottenham.
Okay.
And they're goal machines at the moment. So there's every chance that we might go past 79. But if we have a break and those games don't happen, our crooked goalkeepers can recover fully. And that will give us a better chance.
Just keep your fingers crossed. Where's a record we don't want to hold?
No, we've got enough records that we don't want to hold forever about goal deficits and conceding goals without adding that one to the long list.
Yeah.
That's us done for our penultimate podcast of 2021. Thank you if you've been with us for the ride. If you've only just discovered the So Show Show, all of our previous episodes are there for you to sit back and listen to, especially maybe if you're going to be spending quite a bit of time on your own over Christmas. You might enjoy going back through some of our editions from across the year.
Or if you're in the car, if you're going to see family, you know, you've got a couple of hours in the car, take us with you.
Yeah.
We'll be your mates in the car, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. You may learn something.
And don't forget to go on to our socials because you can win tickets to see Peter Pan. This week we have been giving away tickets to see Peter Pan at the Masked Mayflower Studios on our Facebook and on our Instagram. You can also follow us on LinkedIn, on Twitter, and get in touch with us. We'd love to hear from you. What's going on, where you are.
Yeah, it's always worth setting up notifications on your Instagram and your Twitter in particular because we've always got something good that you can win and you don't want to miss out on that. Well, Zoe, if we don't speak before, have a fantastic Christmas.
And you, Simon, Merry Christmas. And thank you so much for listening.
You've been listening to Zoe Hanson and Simon Clark on Southampton's podcast, The So So Show.